Good morning and welcome to Sunday service. What a week it's been. Has it not been a week? I'm telling you, there's been lots of good news. There's been lots of frightening news. There's been lots of difficult news. But we serve amazing God, don't we, brothers and sisters? Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, God had done some crazy, amazing things this week. He took Sister Marguerite, Miss Alva's friend, and so a lady who comes to our services kind of regularly at times. And she went in the hospital, wasn't feeling good, had an emergency pacemaker put in. And just a couple hours later, she's back in good condition. So praise the Lord for that. That was good news, right? Speaking of pacemakers, we don't just want one person to get a pacemaker. We might as well have a couple of pacemakers. And so Brother Ron got himself a pacemaker. I don't know which model he got, but it was so awesome that they didn't just leave the first one. They had to do some more work and cut them open again and put them back together. So Brother Ron had not one pacemaker surgery, but two, and he's with us in service today. Hey, that's good stuff. That's right, refurbished. And God's doing some great stuff with Leanna. We went up and spent some time with her in Kansas City, and it was awesome to see how God is working in her life. I mean, even though she had that severe stroke and she's getting through all that stuff, she has this slurred speech. She looks over, we walk in there, and she says to the nurse, "Can you get the nurse?" And I said, "Yeah, we get the nurse." And she says, "I just want you to know that I know there's a lot of people that are sick and there's a lot of people that are hurting, and if they need to share my room, I can scoot over and they can come in with me." I mean, how sweet is that, you know? And so regardless of all the stuff she's going through, she's still thinking of other people. That is a huge blessing, so praise the Lord. Then that guy, Jim Recker, Brother Jim Recker, we heard about him having a severe stroke. So I guess we got two pacemakers and two strokes in the last week. So Lord knows what's happening next week. But even having that severe stroke, Sister Terry was sharing that God had blessed him listening to our prayers, and he had wanted to get up, stand up. His kids give him his glasses. Now, I can't speak yet, but here he is. I mean, God is doing great things in his life. So that's a huge praise. So good stuff there. And God didn't stop there. Sister Victoria's like, "Hey, my sister's getting ready to have a baby. It's been kind of tough for Maria, so please keep her in prayer." And boom, the beautiful baby Jasmine appears. So, hey, that was good news too. So I don't know about you. I know there's lots of other prayer requests out there, but I can tell you that our God is amazing. He is working on those things. He is doing what he needs to do, and it is just absolute blessing to be part of the family of God. And so if you're happy, you believe God is amazing, let me hear you say, "Praise the Lord," this morning.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, praise the Lord. He's doing great stuff. This past Wednesday, I was teaching on Titus, and Titus chapter 3, and it talks about how we were before we were saved. It talks about how we were after we were saved. It talks about all these different things that we go through. And we just had such a great discussion on Wednesday. And so as I was thinking, what am I going to preach about today? That Titus chapter 3 just kept coming to me, and I thought, And as I was thinking about all the things that had gone on this week, I thought, what a good title for a sermon. Are you still amazed? Are you still amazed by what Jesus does for us? And so that's what I'm going to be preaching on. If you have your Bible, open up to Titus chapter 3. We're just going to look at a couple verses here, verses 3 through 8. But I believe Jesus is still amazing. I believe God is still amazing. I still believe he's on the throne. And I believe your faith and your trust is in him. You've got nothing to worry about. Amen. Amen. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. Here's what God's word says about this. It says, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and even hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of the righteous which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to all men." Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, God, for the way you've been working in our lives, Lord. I thank you, God, you've brought people through sickness. You've brought us through so many difficult times, God, and you're not done yet. All those lists, all those things that are on the prayer request list, God, as we just come before you humbly and we lift up your name and we just ask for the things that are on our heart, as we pray for those that are burdened, as we pray for one another, as we love our brothers and sisters, God, it's just amazing to see how you're there with us, how you answer our prayers. God, just this morning, Sister Stephanie, she shared, she said, to give glory to you, God, for the way that the church has been lifting up their family through this difficult time, because she believed there's no way she could make it through, God, without your answered prayers. And so, Lord, we continue to pray for Stephanie and Gary and Pernan and Nicole and Daniel and Matthew and all the children that surround Gary and his family, Lord, God, as they get ready to enter this time where Gary transitions from earth to heaven, Lord. God, I just pray that you continue to lift them up, Lord. God, you are a mighty God that we serve. You can do anything, Lord. Help us never to forget that, Jesus. God, as we worship you and as we praise you and as we share this message you've laid on my heart today, Lord, may it touch every one of us, God, and may we leave here a changed person. For it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. 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 So, how many people in our congregation today really been amazed by something? I mean, really been amazed by something. Anybody ever been amazed by something? I mean, who wants to share something amazing? Something that you've been amazed with? I mean, Lewis and Deborah, they have kind of a funny story, but it is amazing. You know, God answers prayers. He answers big prayers, and he answers little prayers. I mean, everything is important to us. Shannon came home from work, and Shannon said, you know, I don't understand the way the Lord works sometimes. I said, well, what do you mean, honey? I pray these big prayers, and I'm waiting for God to answer. I'm wanting him to do something, you know. And it just seems like it's not happening. Like, it's taking forever. Like, maybe he's not hearing what I'm saying. But then a person comes in, and I'm like, oh, man, Lord, we've been through this round and round. You know, God, I really don't want to deal with this person today, Lord. They're supposed to follow up with somebody else, and here they are. God, what's going on? And sure enough, that person followed up with somebody else. She's like, that was so awesome. Like, I didn't even say anything out loud. I was just thinking those things. And God was answering my prayers. Lewis and Deborah, I mean, she's a wonderful woman, but don't let her touch your cell phone, people. Don't let her touch your cell phone, because she will lose it. She will lose it. And your car keys, too. I mean, I love you, Deborah, but don't let her touch your car keys either. But so she lost her cell phone. And I mean, that's normal. You're up there. You're frazzled. You're dealing with a family member you love in the hospital. And so the cell phone's gone. And so I'm talking to Lewis, and Lewis is like, you know, we prayed and prayed and prayed that somebody would just run that cell phone over a bunch of times so that nobody'd be able to get our data or our pictures or anything off of there. And I said, well, boy, that's a funny thing to pray for. And he said, yeah. He said, you know what's more funny is when we went back and we found it, and it was ran over a bunch of times. I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, the God we serve is amazing. You know, we talk about healing and all those kind of prayer requests, but how strange and amazing is that? But yet, God answers that prayer. And it even's better, because it wasn't like they just found it where they had left it, because otherwise they wouldn't have left it there. He's walking around, Lord, please show me where this cell phone is. And there it is, all crushed and ran over, just like they wanted. So how amazing is that? Like, God does amazing things. Yeah. Well, we'll see how amazing that works out. I'll do the best I can. But I mean, God has been doing amazing things since the beginning of time, really, if you think about it. Can you think about what it was like for Adam the first time he laid his eyes upon Eve? Hey, that would have been pretty amazing, I think, right? You know, that would have been pretty amazing. And you think about the time that God tells Abraham, your descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars. I mean, have you ever sat outside and just gazed and looked at all those beautiful stars? Can you imagine what that promise to Abraham must have been like? I think about how amazing is it that the Pharaoh, he's like, I'm not letting these people go. They're staying here. Aaron raises his staff. And then all of a sudden, frogs jump out of the waters. And they're coming over and they overcome the land. That would have been a pretty amazing sight, I think. Or what about when Moses, he takes the staff and is like, Lord, there's people chasing after us. We're going down, man. You couldn't have delivered us from Egypt just for this. What is going to happen? Put your staff in the water. Are you kidding me, Lord? Do you see all those people? All right, whatever. Puts it in there. and the seas part. I mean, how amazing is that? Like, we serve an amazing God. Do you believe that today?
Yes.
Absolutely. There's some things that are just amazing that God does, you know. One thing I've always been amazed by is magic tricks. Shannon says, you're such a kid. Why would you be amazed by magic tricks? Well, because I never could do any. You know, I never had that skill. I was never really good at magic tricks. And she said, do you even know any magic tricks? I said, yeah, I know one magic trick. And it's terrible, but I know it. It's the only magic trick. She says, we've been married for 23 years, and you never showed me a magic trick before. She said, I'm prepared to be amazed. And I said, okay, so I'm prepared to amaze you guys, too, with my lovely magic trick. Well, let me show you how this works. So I have one coin on one plate, right? You guys see that? And now say you're in a situation where you need more corners to back in your car out. Well, maybe you can do this magic trick, and then you say, well, this plate has no coins, and this one only has one. Say, well, I need two coins over there. Bam! Got two coins over there. Look at that. Say, well, but it costs 75 cents for that thing. So how am I going to get more? Well, bam, and you got 75 cents. Hey, is that amazing or what? I'll never tell my trick.
Maybe we should try that with offering plates.
Some things are amazing, right? Like when I stood at the foot of the Smoky Mountains for the first time, and I looked up and I saw how smoky they were, and I saw the tall evergreen trees and stuff, I was just in awe. Shannon's like, come on, get in the car. And I'm just looking up like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And she chuckled. She said, if you think that's amazing, wait till you see the Rocky Mountains. So yeah, so that may be coming up this week. We'll see. And then other things are amazing. Like you think about the creation of a child. Like when I look at Faith and Josh, it's hard to believe, but my DNA, my blood basically is running through their veins. Is that not amazing? I mean, we serve this God who does so many amazing things. There's just no way to put what God can do or what he has done in words. I mean, amazing is such a small word. And what truly amazes me is that he has given me this woman who has dealt with me through troubled times and good times and everything else for 23 years and hasn't left me. Now that really is amazing, huh? Praise the Lord for that. But I don't know about you, but as we go through time, some things stop amazing us. Right? Some things just aren't as cool, aren't as amazing as they once used to be. Like, if I probably lived in the mountains, I might not be amazed by the mountains if I saw them every day. No, Faith will send us pictures every once in a while, and Mount Rainier will be in the background, and I'm just like, wow, that's so beautiful. But, you know, she kind of gets used to it and takes it for granted. Me, when those HD TVs came out, like these guys, when they first came out, I had that old box glass TV, you know, like Miss Elvis, weighs about 400 pounds, built in the 1950s, maybe, I don't know, but these big old TVs. And so, boy, I wanted one of these TVs. And I used to go by Best Buy and Walmart and just drool over them like, boy, it'd be nice to have one of those TVs. Now I have one. I have bought one a couple of years ago. Walk by it every day. Don't think anything special about it. Don't think anything else about it. Doesn't amaze me anymore. Also, like, you know, when I was a kid, I always wanted to be an adult. I thought being an adult was amazing. You don't have to listen to anybody. You could do whatever you want to do. Nobody can boss you around. But then I became an adult. I had to get a job and a mortgage and pay bills and car payments. And then I still had people telling me what to do. So I thought, boy, I wish I could be a kid again. Huh? Amen. So there's some things that used to amaze us that just don't amaze us anymore. But I'll tell you one thing that should always amaze you is what Jesus Christ can do for you. It should still take your breath away when you think that he took you from who you once were to become the amazing creation that you are today. The other thing that amazes me is that, you know, there's a lot of people that I would like to have relationships with that just kind of snub their nose at you. But the one who created the entire world wants to be my friend. That's amazing. I mean, that is amazing. So I don't know about you, congregation, but I'm still amazed by God's love for me. I'm still amazed by the mercy he has for me, by the grace he has for us. And I'm still amazed that he sent his son. You know, He gave you the very best that he had. He's God. He could give you the worst he had, and it'd be better than anything you could put together. But he gave you the best he had. I mean, how do you share that with somebody? How do you talk about that? So let's look back at Titus. Let's dig into how amazing our God is for a few minutes. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 say this. Talk about how amazing God's love is. It says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures. We are living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared." Let's face it. Sometimes we can be hard to love. Is anybody hard to love? I mean, yeah, we can be hard to love sometimes. You know, I'm thankful we have husbands and wives and parents and children and stuff that try their best to love us unconditionally. I mean, we can be tough to love. But when you think about it, God knows more about us than those people in our family, and yet he still loves us. He knows our thoughts. He knows our actions. He knows what we're going to do. He knows before we even do it, and he says, "I still love you." And I mean, we think about our kids. We watch our kids do dumb things, don't you? Our kids do dumb things. I mean, I did dumb things as a kid. I still do dumb things as an adult. We watch them, and we go, they're going to regret that. That's a bad idea. And what do we got to do? We got to let them do it. We have to let them learn. And I think God is doing the exact same thing. Watch this. Like, "I told you, Brother Bill, you're not supposed to be doing that. Well, you know, I'm just going to try." "Okay, well, go ahead and see what happens." "Well, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I know you'd be back." You know, but God loves us in spite of those things, in spite of how we act, all those things. He loves us, and unconditionally. It says, "Before we knew Christ, this old man that we were foolish." That means like we didn't understand the ways of God. We didn't know the way of God. We didn't even really care. We were disobedient. So even the things that we did know, we didn't want to follow because we were selfish. We did what we wanted to do when we wanted to do it. And then we were deceived. The devil, that sin, that temptation, it would lead us deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. And we just keep following it. And what happened is that would take us into this area where we started serving these diverse lusts, the Bible said. That's not necessarily a sexual lust, anything you lust after. But so you'd start doing that, and instead of having freedom, you'd be enslaved to these things. And so God said, "You were going through all this tough stuff, but even while you were hating one another, I still loved you." And so even when we were pretty hard to love, Jesus said he still loved us. I think that's why one of my favorite verses in the Bible is Romans 5:8. While we were yet sinners, Christ sent his son to die for us. I mean, Christ died for us. I mean, how awesome is that? You know, it's good that our parents love us. It's good that our siblings love us. But God loves us for our good points, our bad points, for what we've done, for what we haven't done. He just loves us unconditionally. Another thing that amazes me besides God's love is salvation. Salvation is a hard thing to understand. I don't care how long you've been studying the Bible. I don't care how long you've been in church. Salvation is hard to understand because how many times have you tried to change something in your life by yourself? I mean, we've tried to do that a lot, right? I want to change my weight. I want to change my hair. I want to change my career. I want to change whatever. And sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't. But salvation that God gives us, it changes our inner being. It changes our core, the very person that we are inside. The Bible says that God takes that heart of stone and he removes it and he gives us a heart of flesh. And when you really think about that, like, that's a life-changing moment. And so what Scripture says in 5 and 6, it says, he said, "He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior." I thought, what does the world know about being saved? So I opened up my trusty old Webster dictionary. So what is this? What does the word salvation mean in that? And it says, "Rescued from harm, destruction, or danger." And you know, that's really what God did when he gave us salvation. He rescued us from harm, destruction, and danger. You know, there's a great penalty for the sins that we commit. It's a penalty so big that we can never pay it back. And so we needed something to happen so that we could possibly pay it back. It doesn't matter how hard you work. Doesn't matter how many good deeds you work. None of that stuff is ever going to be enough to pay back that debt of sin. And yet people
don't trust God to remove that from them. They don't accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. He's the only one who can pay that debt.
I don't understand it. Because if Jesus came to you and he said, I'm going to pay your car off today, you know what? They'd be like, I believe in Jesus. I'm going to pay off your house today. Oh, I believe in Jesus. I'm going to pay your credit card off. I'm going to pay your medical debt off. I believe in Jesus. But he says, I'm going to pay off your sin debt. Something that you could never pay on your own. Even if you're a millionaire, a billionaire, a trillionaire, you could never pay it off. And I'm going to pay it for you because I love you. But yet they won't accept that. Why?
I don't know. I'm telling you, salvation is a thing that we should be amazed by. Verses 5 and 6 say, when we were lost, he saved us. When we were defiled, he washed us. When we were dead, he made a way for regeneration, gave us and became a new creature. When we were empty, he filled us with his spirit. And when I think of all the things that I've done in my life, I'm not worthy of any of those. But God did it because he loved me.
That's amazing. Salvation is amazing. Love is amazing. Mercy is amazing. Verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Mercy. The truth is, what we all deserve is punishment in hell. Hey, we don't like to talk about it. I don't like to talk about it either, but that's what we deserve. We walk around saying, I want to get what I deserve. I've been working hard. I've done this. I want what I deserve. Man, I don't want what I deserve. Because if I committed one sin, that means what I deserve is hell, and I don't want to go there. What I want is mercy. I don't want what I deserve. And so God gives us mercy. Listen to that. Not by the works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Folks, there's only one way you can get to heaven, and it's not by good works. John 14:6 says it like this. I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father except through me. I experienced that mercy about 21 years ago. Changed my life forever. I had times where I doubted whether I was saved, whether I doubted if I was doing God's will and all those other things that everybody has. But I had a friend that said, it doesn't matter what you feel. Go back to Romans 10, 9 and 10. Did you say that? Do you believe in your heart that Jesus is who he says he is? Do you confess with your mouth that you believed in him? Did you repent of your sins and you're saved? Your emotions are tricky. They play with you. But this is the truth. You either believe it or you don't. So I start thinking about that. I'm amazed that anybody would love me that much to give me mercy. Because our world's not too merciful. You can go 2 miles an hour over the speed limit and get a ticket. Back in the day when I started driving, they said, oh, 5 miles an hour over the speed limit is fine. I had a person, I sat in the courtroom before, and I had a person say, well, I was only going 2 miles an hour over the speed limit. He said, what was the speed limit? 35. How fast were you going? 37. Did you break the law? Yes. Well, then you're guilty. Here's your ticket. No mercy. But God gives us all kinds of mercy. So much mercy, we don't even know all of it. That's the God we serve. How amazing is that? Then he gives us grace. Grace is receiving something we should never receive. That's giving you something you never earned. Giving you something you don't deserve. And God gives us grace too. He gives us so much grace. He says, my grace will be sufficient for you. More sufficient than anything else you'll receive in your life. That grace is so awesome that it leads us to this thing, this big theological term called justification. Justifies you. That grace that God gives you, that's what pardons you from your sin. He says, you know what? I see you. I see you, Dave. I love you for who you are. All that stuff you've done, that's not you. That's not the Dave I created. I love you for who you are.
So Dave, get rid of that stuff. I already forgot about it. Because he loves you for who you are. Think about if we treated people with that same respect in our communities today. How would it change their life if we just gave them a little of the grace that God gave us? But you know what? If Jesus just gave us unconditional love, that would be awesome. If he pardoned us from our sins, that would be amazing. If he just gave us salvation and grace and mercy, all those things would be amazing. But he didn't stop there. He said, no, once you accept me, I want to walk with you every day. I want to have a personal relationship with you. I want to care for you immensely. And I want to bless you immeasurably. That's what he wants to do for us. I don't know about you, but when it comes to God's love, mercy, grace, and salvation, I still really am amazed. I still really am amazed. And then God took all those things and he wrapped them up, and the package became his son, his one and only son, that we could see, that we could feel, that we could touch. Because it wasn't enough for him just to tell us how much he loved us. He showed us by giving the best that he had. So the last thing I want to share with you that still amazes me about God is that he blessed us with his one and only son, Jesus Christ. You know, the name of Jesus is amazing. Just in the name of Jesus, demons were cast out and people were healed. Just by using his name. I mean, that's power. You could say Alan all you want. It's not going to do anything special. It may get you thrown out of some places. But you use the word Jesus. That's a different story. Jesus' name, it's powerful. It can do some things. You think about this. It says, Acts 4:12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know what's crazy about that is you could believe in God the Father. You could even believe in the Holy Spirit if you want. You could believe in Buddha if you want. You could believe in this book if you want. You could believe in this plate if you want. But the only name you're getting saved by is the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Jesus left the glories of heaven to come to earth, took on this robe of flesh, and he became the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. When you think about it, everything about Jesus is amazing. Anybody ever written a resume before? Had me write a resume for him before? Resumes show you how awesome you are, right? They show you, their job is to show you how awesome you are so that you can get that job, you can get that interview. If I was to write, not that I would even be honored to, but if I was to even start to write Jesus' resume, here's a couple of things I would throw on there. He was born of a virgin. That'd be right at the top. I mean, you ever been born of a virgin? Nobody else in the world has. Pretty cool. He lived a sinless life. You ever lived a couple days without being sinless? Another amazing accomplishment. This guy lived over 30 years. He taught with authority. And people listened. Hey, that's an impressive accomplishment. He healed the sick, cleansed the lepers, made the blind to see, caused the deaf to hear, caused the dumb to speak, made the lame walk, casted out demons, raised people from the dead. Pretty interesting thing. Like if Jesus was applying for a job at the hospital and I saw raised from the dead on his resume, I'd be like, come on in, brother. We got a job for you. I don't care what degree you have or what school you went to. You can raise people from the dead. What else will be on his resume? Well, he laid down his life, provided the ultimate sacrifice. Not only did he rise from the grave, but he ascended into heaven. I've never done that yet. He sat down at the right hand of his Father, provided atonement and forgiveness from our sins. He's making intercession on our behalf. He saved our souls from hell, changed our very lives, given us eternal life. He has gone to prepare a place for us, and he promises again to come and to receive us. That's a pretty powerful resume. But boy, his resume doesn't stop there. Jesus has defeated some things in his life, amen? He's defeated sin. He's defeated Satan. He's defeated death and hell in the grave. And according to the scripture, soon he'll split the eastern sky with a shout, the voice of an archangel, with the sound of a trumpet. He'll call his children home. We'll rise up out of this world of sorrow and pain and suffering, and we'll meet him in the air where he is going to be forever. Amen?
Amen.
That's a resume. That's the God that I serve. I want to give you a couple more things before I close. If you're here and you never met this Jesus guy that I'm talking about, you're missing out on everything. You don't even know what life is like. Because he wants to give you a love you never experienced. He wants to give a life that you don't understand, a life that's more abundant than anything you could ever comprehend. And all he wants you to do is believe in him. That's it. He'll give you his love, his mercy, his grace, and salvation like that. I don't understand it. That's what he does. If you're here and you have been saved, you believe in Jesus. I want to ask you, are you still amazed by Jesus Christ? Or have you lost the thrill? Let me ask you these questions. You answer to yourself. Be honest with yourself. Do the things of God stir you still? When you see some answered prayer, does that get you excited? When you hear about the glories of heaven, are you just sick of hearing about that stuff? Or like, yeah, that's going to be so far away, I'm not concerned about that. Do the horrors of hell still scare you? Do you have family members that aren't saved? Does that still stir your pot? Are you worried about all those people that are lost, that don't know the Lord, that aren't going to heaven? Does the Word of God still attract you? Does the idea of prayer something that draws you near to God? Do you not want to be in the house of God? Does that not delight you? Brother or sister, if you have those problems, you've lost your amazement for God. So what's the state of your life today? Maybe you need to say that, well, I used to be in love with the Lord. I used to want to read his word. I used to want to pray to him. Every time the church doors were open, I wanted to be there. Not because of the pastor, not because of the pretty girls, not because of any of that stuff. I want to be there because I want to meet with my Lord and Savior, with the rest of the people that love him. If you've lost that, maybe you need to come down to the altars today and you need to say, God, I don't know what happened. I don't know when it happened. But I want to be madly in love with you again. I want to be amazed again. That's what I want. And for those of you that say, I still am amazed by God, Pastor. I still love the Lord with all my heart. I mean, when I see God do things, I'm just like, woo, praise God. Then let me ask you, is it apparent in your life? Are you following what he said? Are you showing him you love him by keeping his commandments? Are you loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Are you loving your neighbor as yourself? Are you not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together? What that means, are you showing up to church? Whether that be our church, or whether that be more, two or more gathered together at someone's house. Are you giving to the Lord? Because if you love the Lord, if you're amazed by him, you're going to give to the Lord. I'm not just talking about your treasures. I'm talking about your time. I'm talking about your talent. Are you taking time to talk to him through prayer? That shows you love him. Are you allowing him to speak to you through the study of his word? And so today as we close, I ask you, examine your life. It's easy to say, I'm amazed by God, but not do any of these things. It's easy to say, well, I used to be amazed by God, but I'm just not anymore. Something happened. I don't know what it is. Well, come make that change. Because I'll tell you, Jesus is just amazing now as he was 2,000 years ago. And to me, he's even more amazing. Every day he gets more amazing. Who would ever think he'd answer a prayer about finding a phone? Who would ever think he'd answer a prayer about somebody running it over and finding a phone? That's crazy. But God loves you so much, he does those things. Why? Because if it's important to you, it's important to him. He's the best father you could ever have. So I don't know where you're at today. I don't know if you're in a place where you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you say, I've never been loved unconditionally. I want to accept him. I want to be loved. I want people to care about me. Then come up here and accept him as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you said, well, Pastor, I used to be amazed by God, but something happened and now I'm not amazed. Folks, I've given you a whole bunch of reasons to be amazed. come up here and say, God, I want to feel them in my soul. I don't want to just have that knowledge. I want to feel them in my body. I want to know that God is amazing. And maybe you say, well, I am amazed by God. He blows my mind every day. Maybe you just want to come down here and say, praise you, God, for sending surgeons that could do a surgery twice on me, and I can come to church a week later. Maybe you just want to praise him for that. I don't know. But all I know is this church is your church. It's not my church. It's your church. The Lord blessed us with this place to be able to come and to worship him. And I may be a little tired. I only had 3 hours of sleep. But I'm telling you, the Lord loves you. He wants to move in your life. And if he's not moving in your life, the only reason he's not moving is because you ain't letting him. Amen. So let him move. Let him do great things. Humble yourself before his feet and praise his holy name. Let's go to the Lord in prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you've been so amazing to us, God. You just light our souls on fire, Lord. God, you give us what we need whenever we need it. You bless us with everything that we need. God, everything we have is because of you. But Lord, more important than any of that stuff, you know how when we're going through the biggest trials in our life, to give us strength, to give us courage, to wrap your arms around us and say, it's going to be okay, my son, my daughter. I love you. So a lot of people are going to be celebrating Valentine's Day. They have no clue what love is about. This unconditional love that I speak about is more powerful than any kind of love on the planet. If you want to come today and share your love with the Lord by praising him, come on down and praise. If you have a prayer request that's so deep and so hard, you feel like nothing is ever going to happen, why don't you give God a try? Tell him, Lord, help me. He's your Father. He loves you. He wants to listen to you. So at this time, if you want to pray, come and pray. Don't wait back any longer. God wants to do a great thing in your life. He's just waiting for you to take the first step. Thank you, Lord. We're going to sing this verse of invitation today. That verse of invitation is hymn 251, Jesus is Calling. If you want to sing with us, you can come and sing with us. Or if you want to pray, you're welcome to come and pray. 251.
Jesus is tenderly calling me home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love will thou roam farther and farther away? Calling today, calling.